Greetings, this is the voice of Quinn Kay speaking to you from Vienna on the 7th of April 2020. I will now be reading out to you the entirety of my first major zine, Gryphotikon, Book 1. Gryphotikon by Quinn Kay and Sergi Pachardas. The illustrations by Sergi Pachardas are unfortunately unavailable in this, the recorded version of Gryphotikon, the, as you would say, audiobook. However, if you wish to see them, you can just open the ebook, which should be enclosed in your purchase. Thank you. Introduction. Gryphotikon. A township like any other, built into the size of a mail slot. Its hustle and bustle mostly lie within the door, in passages, sewers, and underground train stations. The mail slot alone faces the sky, which looks down upon a small alleyway, lined with shops, drying clothes on spider thread, and balcony apartments built high. The air smells of a France that doesn't exist, like an Italy that never was. The going-ons develop as though seen through the eyes of children, yet all that occurs is unmistakably adult. The residents of the town are animals. Shots ring out through the alley from time to time, mere scare shots, and the street is unusually empty when they occur. The clock tower shows the wrong time, with unworldly figures. The trains are late, and no one must commute. The police are a hired force. When the mail arrives, the people of Gryphotikon stall and stop and run into the crevices of imagined side alleys, under awnings, into buildings. When the mail arrives, the usual shots stop their clattering and chattering, bullets frozen in midair, waiting to be swept away by a letter from God. When the mail arrives, it's announced with sirens first, then bell tower bongs, then the darkening of the slot-shaped sky, and finally the opening of the ground. When the mail arrives, the hired police keep the peace as new word from God is delivered through this breathing transitionary town, space between spaces. Word from God can bring sunlight or rushes or thunder or rain, but never once snow. It's not that kind of town. When the mail arrives, no one more chats or gossips of its contents. It's a nuisance, really. An awesome interruption. When the mail arrives, giants' steps soon follow. All pots and pans and cupboards fall, but no glass and no vase and no porcelain breaks, as the people of Gryphotikon have long since resigned and finally made a tradition to keep dishes on solid ground. When the mail has arrived, the street seals back up, behind it the insinuation of enormous hand, reaching down, travelling the entire town from far below the surface. And nobody knows whose hand it is, but they say it's divine. And to gaze upon it harsher than the dimness of sunlight. An afternoon in Gryphotikon is spent dozing and lazing, and, for the unfortunate many, waking and working. The one street under its bright sky, too bright for some inhabitants who prefer to take shelter to build a home and shop inside the town's passages, is usually peppered with a loose crowd. The gunmen and snipers in the bell tower allow this, for usually there is no reason to scare the townspeople away then. Paradoxically, Gryphotikon is at its most quiet at its busiest. Hired police watches over the people strolling to and fro, busy meeting each other and taking care of their affairs. Artists purchase bread at the panagerie. Clochards stuff the crumbs they leave behind into their pockets. Scavengers return from the underworld, satchels full and spirit empty, on their way to diversion. Wives have their fur cut, and many a one engages in Gryphotikon's most important pastime, gossip. It truly is the way of this town to call any philosophy as the rumour that it is. Here, children stand together around a young woman, a late school lesson from the teacher, the words of which they graciously repeat to merge them with themselves. A door was installed into the newly renovated abode of a higher being. Outside, the sky, currently a bright blush. Inside, the underworld, itself illuminated. She stalls here, so I continue. The residential god of the down below rarely goes out. Thus, born from his adolescent, paranoid dream, Graphoticon was built into the intersection between sides, the mail slot. Some say that people live inside the crevice between the door itself, their flat little land, and the frame, the boundary of their world. However, the lands of this outer rim are cursed with darkness, and all who go there speak not of what they have found. Occasionally, travellers from those distant lands arrive in Graphoticon. Travellers like him, the slayer of Graphoticon. Word from God is that a foreigner has arrived at the train station. Its passageways reverberate careful footsteps, echoes somersault with the dragging of metal on the uneven tile. Click, scree, click, click, click. The sound is self-perpetuating and rises in volume with the approach of a creature. The warning shots ring louder, more frequent, and the tower bells swing angrily, letting the alley and meandering topology of Graphoticon know. Beware. The tunnel lamps dimly light the silhouette. He is a tall, carapaced being, walking on two legs. Claws are dangling off his two arms, one respectively, each swaying with every careful, disconcertingly quiet step. One is empty, the other drags an object behind him. The people of Graphoticon couldn't get a good look at it in the ever-flickering tunnel glow, but those that could make out its shape recognized it as divine. A knife that cuts sharply, but stabs dully. Its blade has a rounded tip, like whatever purpose it was intended for, decrees of smooth finish. Those who have seen the knife and lived to tell the tale say that it seems broken, or perhaps unfinished. Its grip implies a continuation, like it was once held, or intended to be held by an unworldly, enormous hand. A hand the people of Graphoticon only see during their brief glimpses into the underworld. Those who haven't lived tell no more tales, for their carcasses lie beheaded, freed of their words, in the dark corners of Graphoticon's burrowing, meandering tunnels. And soon, the creature disappeared, never once having stepped into the main street to greet their home's sunlight. But ever since, the hired police have been patrolling the tunnels more carefully, more frequently, different officers every day. While whispers have gotten loud that he, the slayer of Graphoticon, took a train back to the unknown parts of the world from which he seems to have emerged, it is commonly accepted by the disparate peacekeeping force that he is still out there, hiding, and that there is no reason not to be on high alert. The people have pleaded with them, every new hire on the job, to stop the trains from running. But they have all stated the same, that the railway is beyond theirs and even the mayor's jurisdiction. But the bell tower is not. And so it bellows out, day in, day out, among the clattering of scare shots. Beware.